You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
So our buddy Jay Binkley from next door over at 96.5 The Fan just sent me something that is eye-popping. The top 50 telecasts. So something that aired on TV, okay?
Yep.
For 2025.
And it's on one page, Dan. I want everyone to like kind of visualize this.
Two rows, one page.
The top 50.
Hang on. The top 50. I could even go as far as the top 100, but we're just going to do top 50. One, two, three.
We don't have all day.
Four, five. Okay, go ahead, Sam.
They're all NFL games.
45 of the top 50.
Oh, come on, NFL.
Are NFL football games.
45. And by the way, only like 45 of the top 50. The other five are way down the list except one.
Except one.
How many of them are Chiefs games?
We'll get to that in a minute.
Mm.
So literally every most watched television program last year, minus five, were NFL games in the top 50. Here are the only other, by the way, number one was Super Bowl 59 between the Chiefs and Eagles. That was number one. Number two was the AFC Championship between the Bills and the Chiefs. Two of the three Thanksgiving games were number three and four. The only one in the top 10 that is not an, I mean, if you ever needed proof that the NFL has this country controlled, you only need to look at this list. And some of them are just nondescript games, just regular season games.
Just whatever.
Steelers versus the Lions, number 18. Eagles Chiefs, regular season, number 11. Bears Packers, regular season, 22. The only non-football related telecast to break into the top 10 is the president's address to a joint session of Congress at number 9. Number 28, Game 7 of last year's World Series. Number 30, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Number 47, the President's Inauguration.
And keep in mind, Macy's Day Parade, real quick, everyone in America, for the most part, outside of public safety, is home on that day. Mm-hmm. So you have the opportunity to have millions and millions and millions of more eyeballs than you normally would when there's a game on.
You have a captive audience.
Yes.
Number 49, Ohio State versus Notre Dame in the national championship early last year.
Really quickly, just back to the Macy's Day Parade, and this feels like a stupid question considering the context in which we're discussing it. Does anybody really watch that? I don't think I've ever actually...
You keep it on in the background.
It's on in the background.
I don't think I've ever actually watched one in my life.
It's on in the background. Yeah.
What does this list actually say?
Well, hang on just a second. So now I'm on the back 50. So 51 to 100. Okay? It is predominantly NFL football.
On the back 50?
On the back 50, minus a couple of college football games. College football games.
Like the NCAA championship game? Is that on
like,
there?
Like the college football playoff quarterfinal, Rose Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. The Academy Awards came in at 72.
That's not bad.
Then you have the Miami-Ohio State quarterfinal. That's at number 77.
So the ones that aren't NFL are still sports.
The NCAA mm-hmm. basketball championship between Florida and Houston came in at 88.
Well, I mean, snoozer.
The Kentucky Derby came in at 95.
Now that surprises me.
Everything minus the president's inauguration and his address to the nation, which came in at number 9, the other 98 slots are sports.
So what does that say?
Sports. We are sports addicted.
Distraction, one, distraction, distraction.
There may not be anything else on broadcast TV
not one,
worth watching.
Not one single live action comedy or drama even made the list.
It's also very telling of where the screens are nowadays, where TV is nowadays.
Top five NFL games of 2025. I'll give you a hint. Of the top five, The Chiefs have four.
Oh, wow. Well, the first game of the season.
The AFC Championship, the Super Bowl.
These are not related to the Super Bowl or playoffs.
Mm.
These are regular season games.
Oh, like Chiefs Raiders?
Chiefs Raiders did not make the list.
Huh.
Number five, Kansas City versus Denver with 29 million viewers.
Christmas Day?
It doesn't break it down. It just says by week, Sam, so I don't know.
What was it, week 15?
Yeah, so then it didn't make it. Week nine is number four, Kansas City versus Buffalo with 31 million viewers. Week two, Kansas City versus Philly, 34 million viewers. Number two, Green Bay versus Detroit in week 13, 48 million viewers.
Wow.
And number one, so this had to be on Thanksgiving. Week 13 had to be Thanksgiving because both Detroit and Dallas finished 1-2. Number one was Kansas City versus Dallas on Thanksgiving Day with 57 million viewers.
Definitely destination TV, you know, watching the football
I wouldn't
games,
have thought Kansas City and Dallas.
This also shows you that they're just, people are watching elsewhere.
They're streaming. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and there really is no reason to go to TV, to Dan's point. I mean, I have an antenna, and other than maybe 5 minutes of whatever morning news channel, predominantly number nine, that I want to watch is the only time that I go to that antenna unless I want to watch football.
Mm-hmm.
So
our viewing habits have changed.
So I'll be honest with you. The only what would be considered over the air that we watch, I mean, give me a break, Wheel of Fortune on Fox 4 at 6:30. I mean, give me a break. So we watch Wheel of Fortune every night. We are suckers for Boston Blue, which is the sequel to Blue Bloods. And we will watch America's Got Talent.
That's it.
The only over-the-air that we watch is sports.
I can't remember the last thing I watched over the air.
Well, you just said Channel 9 Morning News.
Yeah, 5 minutes of the morning news. I mean...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I rarely watch anything over the air other than catching a quick newscast here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And football. Yeah.
Interesting take from the text line. It could also be a boost in viewership for other games that you wouldn't normally be watching because of the prominence of sports betting.
It's possible. But I don't bet sports, but yet I watched last night the Ole Miss Miami game.
But I'm referencing, and what this texture is referencing, is before you would set up one TV and I'm just going to watch this one game.
Right.
And now if you've got a bet on three or four different games that are happening at the exact same time.
You're buying NFL Red Zone, you're watching all of them.
Yeah, there are guys out there that their wives are unhappy. They now have four TVs in the living room.
I'll tell you what's going to kill over-the-air broadcasting. And it's already started. Because right now you've got Thursday Night Football on Prime, right? You've got, and some of the games are moving over to Netflix. Once the streaming channels start buying up the NFL, and college football, over-the-air TV is dead.
Well, it's already started.
That's what I just said.
Was the last one a couple nights ago on Prime, or KU was on Prime or something?
Well, KU's on ESPN Plus.
We were looking around like, where is the game?
Mm-hmm. It's on ESPN Plus.
Most of us haven't seen this new CBS news anchor.
Have I told you my good friend's father called her several years ago and said, call me back. I can't figure out Netflix. She called him and she said, Dad, what's going on? She's like, I set it up. It's on your smart TV. And he said, I'm on Guide and I have scrolled six times.
It's not where you're going to find it, Dad.
Where is the Netflix?
Where is the Netflix?
Was looking on the DirecTV guide. Damn it, where's the Netflix?
Oh, the DirecTV guide. He was scrolling through thousands of channels.
He was scrolling through thousands, like all the way down to the music channels that no one uses, and then all the way back up to Fox 4.
Woodworking,
Viva La Mexico.
Three times, I can't find the Netflix.
Alternative pop, vintage country.
Yes.
The Farmer's Almanac.
Poor guy.
So, ooh, churning butter.
All right. We've got the airing of the grievances. 3, Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. Remember, we're trying to keep it to grievances. We'll let a gratitude or two slip through every once in a while. But remember, if your life is good, nobody wants to hear about it. Okay? Let's keep it to grievances. We'll do that right after 5 o'clock. That is brought to you by Q39.
Nobody has time for that. If you're enjoying life, keep it to yourself.
So the Kansas City Zoo has a new baby giraffe.
Oh, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see?
Baby Benny.
Is there a greater look on anyone's face than the birth of the baby giraffe? It's the Kermit the Frog face.
It is the dumbest looking face.
They are yes. sick of your, you know
it.
What.
You nailed it. Baby Benny is in good health, according to the zoo. Already enjoying quality time with her siblings and her mom and dad, Alika and Aiden. 6 feet tall coming out.
Yep.
Wow.
If you haven't seen it, also the Wichita Zoo welcomed a baby orangutan this week. And mom is on camera.
Can we bring it into the studio?
And I mean.
Why not?
Right.
Bring everything else in here.
She squats and that baby comes out and mom scoops that little baby up and is cleaning her off. And it's like, boop, boop, boop. It was beautiful.
Isn't it amazing that animals.
They know.
Wild animals. I mean, they literally come out of the chute and they're walking.
Yep.
And it takes humans, what, a year, year and a half before we even get our bearings?
So I've read about this. In the wild, they have to. The giraffe has to get up and walk or you are prey.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
That's why it's so quick.
Have you ever seen a giraffe fight off a lion from its cub?
Oh, it's crazy.
Oh, a giraffe. You don't play with giraffes.
Mm-hmm. No. I'm a fan of Dave Attenborough, Barry. We watch all of those nature shows. Mm-hmm. I saw the other day, and you're not going to believe it, and if I hadn't seen it with my own two eyes, I would not have believed it. A leopard was starving, and he's like, leopard hasn't eaten in days.
What did the leopard say in
doesn't
English?
Doesn't turn around. It's not going to be good for the leopard. And so I'm like, oh, poor leopard. But you also don't want to see an animal killed.
Yeah, it's talking about itself in third person.
Leopard's got to eat, right?
Yeah.
So it's going on and going on, and the leopard's trying to catch a wildebeest and misses. Like, swing and a miss.
Yeah.
There is a crocodile. Look this up.
Oh, I've seen it. It's on my reels. It's in my algorithm.
Laying down, like, sort of in, sort of out of the water. Leopard crawls up a tree and is just looking down. And David, the commentator of this whole thing, is like, this is risky, but she is so hungry in that beautiful British accent, right? Like, this is not going to end well.
Risky.
That leopard jumps out of the tree, pounces on top of the crocodile, and the crocodile does exactly what you would think. It doesn't even look real. It is thrashing, rolling, and the fight goes on for 25 minutes. Leopard wins.
Wow.
Leopard wins. And she somehow knew she had to get underneath the crocodile's mouth where the skin is softer. Like right here.
Yes, on the neck.
Oh my gosh, I couldn't believe it.
So
I last 2 minutes in the wild.
Facebook has me so figured out, it scares me to death.
You'd make it 2 minutes?
Yeah. Not two.
Okay.
20 seconds.
Maybe.
So, Sam, Facebook, the algorithm has me so figured out as to what I think is interesting / funny.
Oh, yeah.
And lately, they've pinned me on how a hippopotamus defends itself. Because hippos are these big, giant, fat-filled creatures.
Oh, they can be mean.
And they can be mean. And if you're in front of them, they will stomp you to death.
Oh, yeah. Those jaws are incredibly powerful.
Yeah, they're not playing around. And they can swim.
Are you referencing what happens if they have to run away?
He showed me this yesterday. I did not think this was real.
They can swim like Michael Phelps. I mean, they are so fast.
So hippos are the most dangerous animal on the continent of Africa.
Yes, that is correct. That is right, Dan.
You ever seen one bite into a watermelon?
Apparently, they have a skunk-like
projectile
backside reflex that can ward off animals coming in from behind, so to speak.
They spray their musk?
That is correct, Dan, and it is a large brown musk.
Got some heft to it.
Dana, I want you to describe what you see on the bottom.
I would prefer not to.
I would prefer you do the play-by-play.
The leopard or hyena, whatever that is.
That's a hyena.
Is trying to go in.
Trying to get its tail.
Trying to get the tail.
Right. The tail of the hippo, right?
The reaction, I thought it was AI. Scott's like, no, this is real.
Sam, is it real or what?
Hippos actually do emit a fragrance.
So
it's projectile gas.
I'm going to play this, and I want you, with a straight face, to try to describe it in play-by-play.
Yeah.
This is there is a hyena, and it is trying to bite the tail of a hippo.
Yeah.
Here we go. You ready?
Yeah. Yep. Hippo's not having it. Oh, my gosh. I don't know that that's real. It is a spray, a violent...
brownish.
Gaseous... there's some heft to it. It cone-shaped, and it probably goes out 40 feet.
Oh, my God. The internet describes it as aggressive dung spraying.
What? Describe what's happening with the hyena.
Spinning their tails.
Hyena drops to the ground as if he's been maced.
Spinning their tails to fling the feces in all directions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You do not want to be the hyena on that end of that transaction.
It is used as a primary defense tool and sometimes a communication tool.
Well,
territory against rivals, signaling dominance. I'll show you dominance.
Kind of like National Fart Day.
If you've ever wondered what goes on during a break on this program, Scott's like, you got to check this out. This was yesterday. He's still watching it. He goes, watch what happens here.
The dung. I mean, it just the projectile. I'm not even mad. I'm impressed. The hyena is literally throwing itself on the ground of the savannah.
Writhing.
Just going.
All right. There's a new study out this week.
Good luck getting a mate that night.
That says dogs, but only the girl kind, are judgmental.
Sounds like real life.
And female dogs judge their humans more than male dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. A recent study from Kyoto University has a really interesting finding. They discovered that female dogs are way more judgmental of humans compared to their male counterparts. Hmm. No hard feelings. They do not judge you for what you look like or what you're eating or anything like that. They are judging your behavior. If you've ever noticed, it says how a female dog seems to know exactly who gives treats on time and who forgets. Mm. It's not your imagination. It is backed by science. They studied this, Scott. They took one human on the left that knew how to open the jar of treats and would deliver one. Yep. Then they did the exact same thing with the exact same dog and the human on the right that has trouble opening the jar. Every single time after, the dog goes left to the one that knew how to open the jar. The male dogs,
regardless of their gender,
the male dog, also regardless of human gender, doesn't care.
See, but here's the weird thing. Like, I hope she's not listening, but she probably is. T feeds Lizzie before she leaves for work every morning.
Yep.
And then she's going to get home here in about 10 minutes. She'll be the one who feeds her dinner. The only time I ever feed Lizzie is on the weekends. But that dog would kill for me.
Yeah.
Kill. And I am without question I am her person. That is right. And I don't know why.
You only feed her twice a day?
Yeah, once in the morning, once at night. How are we going to feed her in the middle of the afternoon? We're at work.
All right.
How often do you feed your dog?
Well, we're working on it. We've got a little measuring scoop. She's a puppy, so she needs to eat more. But like probably 3 times a day, sometimes 4.
Really?
What? Yep.
Tiny.
You're overfeeding your dog.
Tiny. No, I just saw the vet today. She's perfect. Tiny. You know what they said for all of you who have fat animals out there? And trust me, I got a cat that could use about...
Could use a jog.
Could see Dr. Tag if it was possible. The vet told me today, you want to be able to just feel the ribs, mm-hmm. but not see the ribs.
That is correct.
Just be able to feel them. Mm-hmm. She says, we get a lot of animals in here where you're like, where's the ribs? Mm-hmm.
Can you find the ribs on Biscuit?
Yes, but not her sister, who, despite all of our efforts and an automatic feeder, is just a curvy girl.
I thought Biscuit was the fat one. Mm-mm. Gravy's the fat one?
Yep, curvy girl.
Gravy, of course. Makes sense.
It totally makes sense.
By the way, roughly 60% of dogs in the United States are clinically obese.
60%.
See, but I don't believe that, Sam, and here's why. I think we have misnomered
with
the
animals
term, with humans and animals. Yes, because they revised the. And Sam, I know you're super crazy into health, and I appreciate that, and I respect that. I really do. But they redid the, I don't want to say algorithm, I don't want to overuse that word this hour, but what's the word I'm looking for here?
BMI?
No, not the BMI.
Just the metrics they use.
Yeah, the metrics. Thank you. That's a better word. Which, there was a story of the stack, I think it was while you were... on like your 5 month sabbatical.
Oh, wow.
And
chill.
And they said just by moving the metrics this little bit, like 2 weeks ago, they have now classified 70% of the American adult population as obese. I find that incredibly hard to believe. Now, if you want to tell me that 40%, 30%. Now, there's a difference between overweight and obese, right? Would you agree with that or not?
I mean, yeah. You're talking about, I think, perception of people. When it comes down to medicine and medical descriptions of what obese is, you can't – I mean, a person might look healthy but still be clinically obese.
Right.
Would you classify me as obese or overweight?
No. According to the BMI, I'm obese.
Yeah. I went in. I was looking at my medical records from when I went into Advent Health a couple months ago because I thought I was having a heart attack. And they listed my BMI because, you know, they took height, they took my weight, all that stuff. I am listed as class one obese. Now, could I stand to lose 15 pounds? Yeah.
They put it into classes?
Yeah.
They do, yeah.
And so, but am I obese? No. Like, Mark Mangino, the former KU football coach,
well,
he's
let's
obese.
Not let's not point out people who used to be in our community who, you know,
I mean, if
we
you're
all
pointing
have
to
our
the
struggles.
Extremes and you're like, I'm not as fat as that guy, that's not a great defense.
913-586. 7798.
Why do you watch orders? I'm doing just fine.
I'm doing just fine. 586-7798. So did you hear they're bringing back the four American astronauts from the International Space Station? Yeah. He or she, I'm not sure which, is in stable condition, but I did see... a former astronaut who was on one of the cable news channels this morning saying if this was something serious, life-threatening, they'd be back by now. They would have gotten them out of there immediately. So there doesn't seem to be an incredible rush, but this is the first time that there has been a medical evacuation from the International Space Station in its 25-year history.
Wow.
It's never happened before.
Now, I would... not have guessed that.
Could you imagine, and I'm not trying to blame this person, they obviously didn't choose to get sick, but can you imagine being any one of those four astronauts who has been building up for this life achievement? It's like, oh, well, no, sorry, John's sick, we got to go back.
I don't know why they can't bring him or her back by themselves.
I think the crew all trains together to operate the very important procedures on the space station as a team, and if you take 25% of that team away... that's a big change.
Okay. Bev in Kansas City. Bev, hello.
Hi, Bev.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot I was on hold. Are we talking
well,
about
why do you think you had the phone to your ear?
It's when I'm driving. It's on my car. I thought I'm, like, just listening to the radio. We're talking about obesity, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't you think it's sad how it's become normalized?
What do you mean? What do you mean normalized?
Like, just... okay, like, it just seems like overweight has become normalized. Like, it's okay to be overweight. There's a lot of fashion around it now, and a lot of celebrities are like, oh, I own my body, yada, 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 which I think is great. But it's,
Bev,
it's unhealthy.
can I ask you something? Bev?
Yes?
Are you a size 2?
No, I have been a size 16, and right now I'm a size 8.
Okay. I think...
so I've been on all sides of it, I feel like.
Yeah. I don't know that we're normalizing it. I do think with respect to clothing, especially women will say this, they never used to buy anything off the rack. The numbers right. are what they are with more women size 14, 16, 18. You know, Target's not stupid. They're going to put clothing out that women can fit into and can buy. Mm-hmm. I don't know that that's normalizing it. I think it's monetizing it.
No, I think it's not. You're right. It's not normalizing it. It's meeting. It's accommodating a need.
Yeah.
And it's monetizing it. I just feel like we should be really pushing towards also being healthy.
Sure. No, you get no disagreement
there. But you don't think there is that push towards losing weight in America? I mean, my God, how many Wegovy and Ozempic and Zepbound commercials do I have to watch in any given morning?
Now it's kind of funny because people that were overweight, now they're losing weight and people are like, oh, you're too skinny now.
Right.
It's like they can't win either way.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So,
hey, Bev.
That was it.
Get back to not paying attention to driving home.
Okay. Thanks. I will.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye. All right. Bye-bye. Barb in Odessa. Hey, Barb.
Hi, Annie.
Hi.
Hey, I had a couple things I'd touch base with you. When you were talking about your dog, and I'm going to tell you something. The reason why your dog loves you so much, and I don't care what dog, but when you get a dog, adopt a dog that's been abused, and somebody gives it love and gives it health and good food, that dog is going to love you forever.
Yes, she does. I mean,
yeah, because that's the way they connect. Because, you know, down the road, I don't know what she was when she was a puppy, but, you know, when they get heavy, a lot of times animals get heavy because they're not exercised properly either, you know, and they're fed. Some of this food today for dogs is really not very good, you know. It's really not. But the other thing is, you know, I have to agree with that lady that just called. There is, seems like, remember when we had all those stores with the big sizes, Dana?
Yeah. There used to be like Lane Bryant. So one of our listeners called in and said the same thing the other day, Barb. Those stores don't exist anymore.
Oh, no. And I see, and I'm not trying to say anything disrespectful. Don't misunderstand me. But I just see, I feel sorry for people. Sometimes I don't think they can lose the weight because they're the way they're built from family, they're just like that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But anyway, have a good
day. All right, Barb. You have a great weekend. Sam, I want you to jump in on this one. To Barb's point that some people are just born to be big, okay? I don't necessarily dispute that some people might have a metabolism issue or whatever, but I would make the argument, Sam, you're the one who's trained in this, not me, that the majority of people who could stand to lose a few pounds, it's not because they were born to be big. It's because they don't walk. They don't run. They don't work out. They don't lift
weights. Or can I add one thing?
They don't watch their diet.
Born into a family
where
everyone is big. And let me give you this example. It broke my heart the other day. I was in the car with the dog waiting on Johnny to come back out. I don't remember where we were. And a dad was struggling, pushing the cart to the car. Clearly had issues with his health and weight.
Yeah.
And had two children with him, probably 8 or 9 years old, who were probably, you know, twice the average size of a child and it broke my heart because, you know, is that genetic? I think yes, but that environment, Sam, those kids are literally going to end up pushing a boulder up of a mountain every single day of their lives trying to reverse that. Because that environment, you do what you know, right?
The reason it's going to be pushing a boulder up a mountain is because you can't pick your family. And your family continues to make the decisions that they make, and that results in what you saw pushing that shopping cart. There are some very finite examples of people who physically cannot lose weight because of a medical illness. Those exist.
Mm-hmm.
The large portion of the United States that find themselves in the unhealthy category when it comes to height and weight or hip to waist.
Height, you have no control over that.
Hip to waist is actually the more accurate measure of health. Is your hip smaller than your waist? Are your hips bigger than your waist? Is your waist smaller than your hips? And it all comes down to tiny decisions. There are thyroid concerns, there are metabolism concerns, but you can change all of those things through a series of small decisions. Am I saying that with the acknowledgement that that's easy? No, it's really, really hard. It's very difficult because I am a junk food nut. I grew up drinking a 12-pack of Dr. Pepper. I grew up getting the family-sized bag of Doritos, opening it, and throwing the bag away when I got up off the couch. I grew up making all of those bad decisions. Mm-hmm. At some point, you have to decide, I don't want to feel this way anymore. And so you start making the right decisions. Dr. Robin talks about it all the time. Small changes, big shifts. It's just a series of small decisions that help you get to the goals that you want.
Well, and see, I met with my psychologist on, I think it was Monday or Tuesday of this week. And I shared with him the fact that I had made a New Year's resolution for the first time in years. And it wasn't, you know, I'm going to do better with my sobriety, I'm going to work out more, or I'm going to eat healthier, or I'm going to work harder, or any of that stuff. It was simply, I'm going to try to get a little bit better this year in every aspect of my life than I was last year. And he had a great line, and I'll never forget it. He goes, I know you and Dana like to do these, like, words of the year and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, let me give you two. And I want these to be your two words for 2026. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, because he listens to the show. And he knows, you know, I've had altitude and acceptance and all these other words. He goes, here are your two words for 2026. And I go, I'm ready. Let's have it. He goes, forward progress.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
He goes, you love football. I go, yes. And he goes, in football, they have forward progress.
Yeah.
Even though the runner or the receiver gets knocked back, they still get credit for where they got.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, this is why I pay you money.
He still doesn't want to take me?
He does not want to take you, Dana. I've asked. He does not.
It's because he thinks you're so healthy.
He goes, I don't have enough life left to take on Dana Wright. 913-586-7798. Festivus Friday coming your way in 14 minutes. Let's go to Brian in Overland Park. Brian, good afternoon. Hello. Welcome.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for taking my call. Happy New Year to the whole crew.
Same to you, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, I got a couple of things. First of all, I've been feeling these like phantom vibrations in my body. I wonder if anybody else has like the same thing. You know, it's like when your phone's in your pocket and it buzzes, you feel it on your leg. Well, my phone's on the table and like right over my chest pocket. It's like just a slight little bzzz, but it doesn't make a noise. It just kind of vibrates, comes and goes, you know, throughout the day.
Hmm.
I do get those
not
on
worried
my leg.
About it. Not worried about it, but I'm just wondering. Other people experience the same thing, I'm sure they do. But my two words for this year, for everybody, is parasite cleanse.
Explain.
Well, I would bet $1 million to a dollar that someone in that room has parasites in their body. We don't ever do parasite cleanses in this country. They do it all over the world except in North America.
I thought you meant like turn off the TV because it's eating us from the inside.
No, I mean like the pinworms in your stomach.
Ugh.
The fact is, tapeworms. Brian, you're right. We all have parasites in our body.
That's right. And they affect your health more than you know. They'll affect your brain. They cause skin issues. They cause stomach problems, irritable bowel, all that crap. They'll affect your constitution, your eyesight. Your lungs. I mean, it's really? Just incredible when you look into it.
Well, it's expensive. It's expensive to parasite cleanse. Like if you want to get
no, it is not.
Really,
you need to
you
find.
You have to do a heavy metal detox for 2 months.
Ooh, heavy metal.
These parasites live on the heavy metal we all consume every day, like aluminum and lead, stuff like that. In small amounts, they live on that. And they hide in it. They create like a biofilm over their body, and they're protected. And so you do the parasite, the heavy metal cleanse. You take like zeolite for 2 months, and you're going to take it for 4 months. The zeolite goes on for 4 months.
Now, let me stop you here.
Can't be giving out advice.
We don't give health advice or medical advice over the air, but continue.
This is what I've been doing. And then I do the parasite cleanse because once they die, they release all their heavy metals, And like within a day, your body will be flooded with heavy metal.
Do you poop a lot?
No, not necessarily, but you will notice coming out of you is like worms.
Oh, I don't want to hear that. No, right. No,
is it
is it
moist?
No. Okay. No.
Brian, I'm going to stop you there, bro.
I'm going to leave whatever's inside my body right there where it belongs.
He's not wrong, though.
I'm going to vomit.
It's heavy. It's moist.
Stop it.
I take a supplement that helps with that.
But okay. we don't give health or medical advice on the air.
I didn't say anybody.
I'm going to vomit.
It's your experience.
I'm actually going to vomit.
Candace in Mission.
In for the trash can.
Candace, hello.
Wow.
Yeah. How follow that up, Candace.
Well, mine won't be quite that graphic, but I had two things. So we started out the segment, I think, with, who's obese and who isn't. Guidelines get changed all the time, primarily so that more people qualify for medication coverage.
Mm.
And so that's really the game. They've been changing the guideposts on blood pressure for a long time. They've been changing the guideposts on diabetes, and now they're doing it with obesity. So, I mean, you know, this is the game. People just need to be aware, have a doctor they trust. We really, in this healthcare environment, we have to advocate for ourselves.
And in fairness, I believe you are in healthcare, are you not?
Yeah, I am. So I actually do medical research. So, just people need to be aware. Like I said, have a good doctor you trust.
Yeah.
You know, get all your parasites out if you need to.
Yeah.
For me, I'm following a keto diet, which is super, super tough. But for me personally, I know it's going to be my best road to overall health. Sorry, Danny.
Candace, I want you to read this over the weekend, and then we're going to bring it back on Monday. I clicked on this and read a little bit of it earlier, but we don't have time to get into it now. There is something out there. A new company has launched a self-serve blood test. And instead of your annual workup that your doctor does that tests for this and this and this, mm-hmm. it tests for over 100 things. And there's a company doing it, and it's not that expensive.
And are they trustworthy?
Well, it's your blood. You put it in there, and they spin it through the little thing, and it spits out all these different markers and tells you all. But then, what do you do with that? Right? Mm. What if it spits it out and says you don't have any parasites? You don't have to worry about it. I'd be like, that's cool, because I don't ever want to think about that again, no matter what.
Well, but if you were to take care of it, Dana, keep in mind.
I do not need to keep anything in mind.
You have cats and a dog. You have parasites and a lot of them.
The name of the company doing it is Function.
And everything comes out warm and moist.
Function. Would you stop? Oh, my gosh.
Thick and warm and moist.
Oh, yeah.
Mary in Olathe, you get the last word.
It's $365 a year, by the way.
Yeah, so I just wanted to say that other countries like China, they regulate it in your job that says you can't get hired unless you stay in a certain weight. And I think until people are forced in order to make a difference that it actually affects them besides long-term medical, but in daily life, we're not going to see a change, unfortunately.
Well, now, wait a minute. Hang on here for a second, Mary, because what you said is interesting yet concerning at the same time. You use the word force. Who is going to force me to lose weight?
Unfortunately, I mean, the society of the Chinese people, you know, obviously they listen to their government a little bit more than
Americans.
Well,
they have no choice, but yeah.
Correct. But at the same token, I mean, we have health insurance that reports on us, reports on if we have diabetes, reports on all these things. But like the last caller said, it's all pharmacy driven. Whereas, and if it actually was to affect our job, or if the company wants to keep hiring us, I mean, unless someone's going to, I don't mean to say put a gun to your head, literally like in other countries, but basically, I don't think it's ever going to change.
Well, I'll tell you this. I would rather live in a country where 70% or 50% or whatever of the population was unhealthy or overweight than have the government tell those people how to live their lives.
I agree with that.
I would rather live in a country where 50% of the population is obese or overweight or, you know, whatever, than the company, the man, telling you you've got to lose some weight. If you want to lose weight because it's in your best interest, because it's better for your health, then I'm all for it. But what I'm not for is the government or some insurance company telling me, you know, Scott, we've been going over your file lately, and it looks like you've packed on a couple pounds. We need you to lose weight, or we're going to drop you from this insurance.
Now, they do have a new AI refrigerator they debuted this year at the CES. And I'm just wondering, every time you walk up to it, does
not
it say,
now,
again,
fatso?
It's been five minutes, bro.
Or you reach in for a certain item, and they're like, to the right.
Try some celery.
Cantaloupe is to the right.
Haven't opened the crisper in 96 days.
We have Festivus Friday coming your way in just a few minutes, right after the news with Dan Weinbaum, which comes your way in exactly 1 minute. If you have a grievance, you want to get it on the air and off your chest, 913-586-7798. That is brought to you by Q39 Championship Barbecue, pit to plate. Go to Q39KC.com, 913-586-7798.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.